All right. Glad to be here with you all this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon us, Father, as we look to you. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Help us hear your word, Father, and apply it to our lives, Father. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 5. We spend a lot of time in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, these teachings of Jesus, the Beatitudes, because we believe they are the foundation of a disciple or someone wanting to be like Jesus. He gives us his teachings. Many people talk about believing in Jesus, but they ignore his counsel or his teaching. You know, it's hard to learn anything from a teacher. You know, it may be a really high exalted teacher, and everyone just may really reverence and love the teacher or his name or who he is. But if you don't listen to him, you're not really honoring him. You're not really exalting him. You're not really applying what he said. And that's why it's so important that we look into the Word of God and we let it change us. We let it reflect itself back on us. So, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 is where we want to begin this morning. Actually, I want to start in 10. Just to get where we're at. It says, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." I think I want to talk about this just a little bit here before I go on. Blessed are those who have been persecuted. And blessed are people when insult you and persecute you. The Bible talks about in James about being tested and being tried. And most of us like our lives just to go pretty smooth, where we don't have any problems. Everybody's speaking well of us and everything's just going great. But that's not what makes us great. What makes us great or good or better is opposition. It's just like trying to sharpen a knife. The only way that you'll get a knife sharp is if you take a rough stone and grind some steel away to get down to something that's sharp. And that's what the Lord is calling us to, higher things than just floating through life unopposed and without any problems. We often grumble and complain whenever things are not going our way or bad things happen to us. Those things are things that we really should probably be rejoicing about. Not maybe necessarily the situation, but the very idea or the very thought that God would see us worthy to suffer so that we could become better, so that we could become more like Him. We don't like hardship, but the very thing that we despise often is the thing that makes us soft, makes us weak, makes us average, makes us nothing. Softness and the very idea of it is something that can't endure. It will fail, it will spoil, it will ruin, because it's just never been tested, never been tried. And so to be a disciple, one of the very things to be a disciple is to give yourself to God and put yourself in His hands so that He can form you into what He wants you to be. We all have the desire, we sing the song and we say, Lord, make me what you want me to be. And then we have the hope that He'll just do some magic snap of His fingers and we'll just be transformed into something great. Or we'll just be a super Christian just because Jesus snapped His fingers and everything was just changed. But that is not how God works. Jesus Himself lived this life, suffered the opposition of mankind against Himself to make Him into the man that God needed Him to be. Suffering goes hand in hand with being a Christian. It's not that we just enjoy, we don't have a sadistic desire to suffer pain, but we know that suffering is what will make us strong. Opposition is what makes us strong. The athlete that competes for whatever sport they're in, they have to exercise and suffer and stretch and press to excel in what they're doing. The only way they get better at what they're doing is through suffering, through pressing, through stretching, through hurting sometimes. The little slogan, no pain, no gain. But people are willing to do that so that they might excel in some sport or some thing on this earth. And yet, that very principle is what we need as disciples. We need opposition in our life. We need trouble in our life. And it's a gift from God for us when He sends it. Sometimes we think, well, why is God cursing you like that? God is blessing you by giving you the opportunity to strengthen yourself, to exercise yourself to higher goals, to higher things. You know, we've all heard the little thing, never pray for patience, because God will send opposition in your life or trouble in your life. But that is how you learn patience. You don't learn patience because you can sit quietly for 3 hours and not have any disturbances. You learn patience when the whole world is crashing in on you. Everybody's demanding that you move faster, demanding and expecting more out of you than you can do, and you just keep on doing all that you can do. And you do it patiently and full of grace. That's how we learn patience, by having trouble come into our lives. We are able to develop patience and strengthen ourselves if we're faithful. If we fail, we get to go through it again. You know, I've told people before that's having trouble in their lives and they keep struggling over one issue and their goal in life is just to get through that one issue. So then they think that once they learn and conquer that issue in their life, they'll be able to just rest. And I tell them, that's not the way it works. You get over that issue, you conquer that part of your life, and guess what? The Lord will show you something else that you need to fight with and wrestle with. You don't get perfect overnight. You don't become perfect just because you conquer one thing. Whenever you conquer one thing, the Lord in His mercy and grace shows you some other big flaw in your life that you have to work on. And then He gives you the opportunity to do it. That's the very foundation of what a disciple is. Is someone who's following Jesus. And someone who's pursuing after Him. Seeking to live like Him. and finding the opposition that the devil throws at you and that the world will throw at you, your friends will throw at you, your family may throw at you, everyone will throw at you. That's why the Bible teaches us to forgive. And Jesus prayed and He said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And I believe sometimes people do things to us and they don't even know what they're doing. But God allows it for our betterment. You know, we want to blame everyone and find a cause for the problem. But in Jesus' prayer, and Stephen prayed it, "Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." We want to find out who in the world is behind this and be mad at them. Get all upset with them and fix them. But sometimes they don't know what they're doing. Because God has allowed Satan. God has allowed someone to do something to hurt us, not because He's trying to destroy us, but because He's trying to make us better. Whatever we find ourselves going through, keep on going. Keep on going. You know, the sun always comes up. No matter how dark the night, the sun always comes up again. You know, sometimes when we're in the middle of a storm, and I mean, sometimes the pressures that are around us, sometimes the problems that are happening, sometimes the things that we're living through are just so heavy and so hard to bear that we just get to the thought of, like, it just seems like we're just going to live this way forever. And it just kind of closes in on us that this is the way I'm going to live forever. But that is not the way it is. There's always a sunrise. There's always another day that will be better. So whenever you're just overwhelmed by whatever is attacking you, whether it's a spiritual attack, whether it's a mental attack, whatever it is, whatever's attacking you, it's just for a period. It's just for a little while. You know, they just had a hurricane in the eastern part of the country. And in the Bahamas, they said this hurricane just went over the Bahamas and just sat there for 3 days. Can you imagine being in a storm with over 100 mile an hour winds, just things blowing and breaking all around you, just torrential rain for 3 days? About the second day, you would think you'll never see the sunshine again. It'll look so hopeless. Do you know what? You can go down there today and the sun's shining and the sky's beautiful and everything's just peaceful, just like nothing ever happened. The storm blew right over. As horrible a storm as it is, whatever in our life, the storm will blow over. There'll be another one, but it will always pass too. That's what makes us strong. That's what builds character in us. You know, the boys mentioned and talked about what they wanted to be remembered as. A lot of them said a good person, a kind person. You know, those are good. It's good to be thought of as that. But there's something higher than what was mentioned. An influential person. What kind of influence or impact have you had on other people's lives? There's good people, and there's people that are kind, and there's people that are just good. But what kind of person actually had an impact on your life? What kind of person? To be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. That's where my text is from. That's what I'm talking about. The light of the world. Have you raised the bar for those around you to seek for something higher? You know, if everything is just smooth and mediocre, the world just goes down and down and down and down. But if you're a light where you are, the bars, even on the low end, get raised up around you. The level of decency and goodness, the influence that you have on people is lifted. What kind of influence are you? Whenever you die, will there be a whole line of people that say, "Wow, that guy impacted my life"? You know, and it can even go on generations. If it wasn't for what he did, or what someone else has done, or what you've done, people are raising families. You influence somebody for good, they raise their family at a higher level. And on, the children from that have been impacted because somebody made a difference. Somebody was willing to be the light. It don't always look good for that person. Sometimes it looks like they just have trouble after trouble. But you know, people don't see that trouble. People see you walk through that trouble. They see you go through that trouble. That's what impacts their life. There's a song I've heard that if you're going through hell, keep on going. You know, people just talk about when they're going through the hardest time in their life. They think, "Well, I just got to give up. I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to give up." Well, if you're going through hell and you give up, guess where you're at when you give up? You're in hell. Don't give up when the times are hardest. Press on. When you're going through it, keep on going. That's the only way out of it. There's no place to give up. Keep on going. Be the light of the world. Jesus lived his life on this earth, was crucified, dead in the grave, 3 days. The disciples thought of giving up. But he rose. He rose again. He rose again. The sun shone again and shined again. The sun came up again. But boy, it was dark there for a few days. But keep on going. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. The Bible says, "He that endures to the end will be saved." That implies that there's things to endure. That implies that there's things that are not going to be pleasant in your life. That implies that there's things that are going to be difficult in your life. You're going to be under attack. These people, these righteous, it said, They were insulted. Their names were spoken out as evil. They suffered for the Lord's sake. But they went through it and they endured. They were an influence. We read about their lives. They're something to shoot for. They change us. They challenge us to something better. That's what we need to be in our lives. It's great just to be a good person. It's great just to be kind. But be someone that can actually impact somebody else's life for good, for the better. So that people might say, "Where would I have been without that man's life? Where would I have been? What would I have been without the influence that I have?" That teaches us gratefulness, thankfulness. A lot of times our Christian lives are self-centered. There's a book that says no man is an island, but we all think we're islands. You know, a lot of the goodness the boys may have been talking about, a lot of the kindness, I'm going to be good and I'm going to be kind because everybody will think well of me. You're an island. Because it's all about yourself. But to really understand that, being good and kind, is laying aside yourself and being good to people because they need somebody to be good to them. To being kind to people because they need someone to be kind to them. Not just good because I want to be good. I've said many times, most Christianity is so selfish. We're trying to save ourselves so our worthless hides don't get thrown into hell. That's not what Jesus taught. He said, lose yourself. You got to cast you away to be a real influence to someone else. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you want to share or question?
That's just so encouraging, by the way, especially the thought of keeping on going through the hell. Or when we feel like we're going through hell. And I think of our children, that I need to remember it. As a parent, my wife and I both remind each other that there is a danger in every time, we start feeling sick or we get some ibuprofen, the first thing, we'll get rid of that problem. Are you hungry? Oh, here, get something to eat here. Every time got a headache, all you can do now is rest. Beside the cool air conditioner, whatever. Just every little thing, you're tired, go lie down. We get so used to that, just finding a remedy for every problem. And there is an actual danger in that, and a mental danger in that, because because in everyone's life a real storm is going to come where you can't find the remedy right away. But if we teach ourselves and teach our children that a remedy needs to be sought for, that's perfectly normal, we'll always get a remedy right away, we will not keep going in the midst of hell. Mm-hmm. All we do is frantically look for a way out until we give up.
Right.
And I just feel so encouraged with that. And then there's something else that helps us to keep going in the midst of hell, to decide to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Decide to put on a smile. Decide to, I'm going to try to enjoy this. Just because it is what I have at the moment. It's what God is about at the moment.
Right.
It's just encouraging that.
Praise the Lord. Anyone else have anything?
I really appreciate it. I see that attitude towards the whole thing, as Mark was saying, sometimes it's hard to put a smile on, but that's what people can remember. You buy it, they see that you're going through life, and you put that smile on your face, it helps the mental ability too.
Mm-hmm. Amen. The only thing, what, maybe I've said enough, what's the only thing in this world that you can control, children?
Attitude.
Your attitude. That's the only thing in this world that you have control of, is your attitude. And it can be good or it can be bad. But it can be good. If you choose it to be. Don't matter what you're going through, you can have a good attitude. It's the only thing in life you can control. So choose it well.
Forever settled in the hands, thy word, O Lord, shall firmly stand, thy faithfulness shall never fail. Thanks. See.